page 942 in the little black pew Bibles that are in front of you. Romans chapter 6, page 942. Hope. Brothers and sisters, Easter is all about hope. And today I want to focus on the power of God within our hope. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So Paul asks the question, how can we who have died to sin live in it? Then Paul asks another question and explains the reality of our union with Christ and what we should know. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And in verse 7, we see the glorious reality and truth that flows from our union with the death of Christ. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. We are dead with Christ and we are free from sin. But Friday is over. This is Sunday. Listen now. We need to know, understand, and believe that the death of the sinless Son of God has brought us reconciliation with the Creator of the universe. We need to know, understand, and believe the truth that we are united with Christ in his crucifixion, his burial, and his death, and we are therefore set free from sin. And this is a reality and truth we need to grow in. We need to renew our minds in this truth by faith. But be clear about this. If Jesus is still that dead, then we are still dead in our sin. If Jesus is still dead, then we are still dead. If Jesus is dead, then our faith is futile. My preaching is in vain, and we are to be a people most pitied. Brothers and sisters, get this and get this good. This is Sunday, and Christ is alive. And verse 5 is real. If we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. That is why we have verse 8. Look at it. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Friday is over, it is Sunday, and Christ is alive, and so are we. Sunday is here, and we have hope. If you're in Romans, turn to chapter 8, page 944. Most of you know that we are studying in Romans on Wednesdays, and when I'm studying on and meditating and praying over a passage, my thinking and my life revolve around it, so it's no coincidence that this simple Easter message will be formed by Romans 8. Hope. Hope. Hope in the mighty power of God. Of God. Romans 8, 23 through 25. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Keep your finger right here and turn to Philippians chapter 3, page 981. Stay here because we're going to be right back. Philippians 3, 8, page 981. I've been praying, and I desire nothing today but for this reality to become yours. I desire more than anything today for you to know the power of God in the hope in which you were saved. Philippians 3, 8 through 11. Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God, from God, that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That I may know him, and that I may know the power of his resurrection. With all that I have within me, I want you to experience the living God of the universe. I want you to know the power of his resurrection." Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the cross of Christ. We thank you that you sent your Son to go to the cross and take your wrath upon him for us. We thank you for that, Father. But I pray, Father, that you help us now, empower us now to know Christ. I pray that you help us now and empower us now to know the power that is towards us who love you. I do pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you work in us in a mighty way today through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Flip back to Romans 8 and let's look at hope. Hope. Not worldly hope, which says hope so, but godly hope as his children. We can hope for things in this world. We can hope so. I hope the next president fears God. I hope I can get a new job. I hope my car starts in the morning, and on and on and on. I hope so. With God, it's different. There is no so at the end of hope. With God, I do not hope so this and hope so that. Look at verse 24, Romans 8 to 24. For in this hope we were saved. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? If hope is seen now, then it is no longer a hope, but an already existing reality. Hope is reality not yet fulfilled. Hope is living in the truth and the certainty of that which will come. And in our case, with God as our hope giver, the hope in which we are saved is the predestined glory we will attain. And that, brothers and sisters, is the difference between worldly hope so and kingdom of God hope. Listen carefully now. Worldly hope so has an undetermined outcome. Godly hope has a predetermined outcome. Worldly hope so, I hope I get a new job, may or may not happen. The outcome is undetermined. Godly hope, what I hope in, is God's predetermined and is guaranteed to be the outcome. Worldly hope so has an undetermined outcome. Godly hope has a predetermined outcome. What does this have to do with Easter Sunday? It has to do with Easter Sunday because with our union with Christ, it is Christ's resurrection that we are part of. Remember what Paul wrote? If we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united in a resurrection like this. Jesus leads the way. He is the first fruits. In 1 Corinthians, we read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 16 through 20. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people to be most pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ being raised from the dead was a predetermined outcome. Our resurrection is as well. I said I wanted to present you with simple truth today in Romans 8. Let's do that. Hope. Hope in the power of God. I want you to focus on the power of God. Here's something we need to consider. What makes hope real? Here's the difference. Worldly hope so has an undetermined outcome because nothing, and I mean nothing in this world, is for sure except death and judgment. Godly hope is a predetermined outcome because everything, and I mean everything within the hope in which we are saved, is certain. Why? Why is this true? There are a number of reasons. We have a predetermined outcome, and that will not and cannot be changed. And number one reason is there is the character of God. The character of God that guarantees everyone's outcome. Those who die in their sin will perish in hell, guaranteed. Those who die in Christ will be with him forever, guaranteed. God's character guarantees everyone's outcome. So we have a predetermined outcome that will not and cannot be changed because of the character of God, but also because of the love of God. The love of God that moved him to put us in the position of being in Christ. Our God's character, his holiness, his righteousness, and his justice now embraces us in Christ, and our predetermined outcome is glory. So we have a predetermined outcome that will not and cannot be changed because of the character of God, and because of the love that God has for us, and thirdly, because of the power of God. If God did not have the power to bring about our predetermined outcome, then his character and his love would not matter. The power of God. I want us to focus on the power of God. Paul says that I may know him and know the power of his resurrection. So what I want you to do is focus on the power of God in your lives. If you aren't still there, find Romans 8. And I just want to say this. If any of those three reasons are gone, then our hope is in vain. It's kind of like a three-legged stool. If you take one away, it fails. If you take away God's character and leave his love and his power, then nothing is guaranteed. If you take away God's love for us and leave his character and power, then we are doomed. So because I'm emphasizing God's power today, don't think the others aren't as important. They are all very important. Look at our passage in Romans with me. Romans 8, 24 through 26. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Watch this now, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, so God does it for us. This truth is the only way hope is real for each and every one of us. We've been in Romans and we see the reality that because of Christ's death and union with him, we are free from the bondage of sin. We're free to love him and dwell with the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption that is now in our hearts, and we cry out, Abba, Father, and it testifies we are children of God. We are not led by the flesh anymore. We are led by the Spirit of God, and we are free to love him. And we have this hope now in which we are saved. And then we're going to see the reality of the security in this hope with his love drawing us to the end. And in between it all, we have the Holy Spirit of God praying for all of this for us. Because we don't know how. Getting to what I want you to do, practically speaking. I want us to all start praying for the will of God. And today, here is where I want us to start. Keep your finger here and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, page 976. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want us all to start praying for ourselves and each other that we would know the power of his resurrection. It is the will of God for us to know. Ephesians 1, 13 through 23. Starting in 13. In him, in Christ Jesus our Lord, in our risen Savior, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. This is our hope, brothers and sisters. Verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Let's pause here. Paul is praying for God, the Father of glory, to give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation of him, to know him, and to have the eyes of their hearts enlightened for three things. And brothers and sisters, they are all about hope, glory, and God's power. We'll start back in 16. Watch closely for the third reason in verse 19. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit and wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, one, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Father, give them a spirit of revelation. Oh, enlighten their hearts, open their eyes so they may know the hope. Number two, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Father, open their eyes of their hearts that they may know the riches of the inheritance. And number three, 19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? Are we praying for that? Are we praying that deep down inside of us we know the power of God that is toward us who believe? And he describes it. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand at heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the fullness, the body, the fullness of him who fits all in all. Father of glory, give us the spirit and revelation of knowledge of you, and enlighten the eyes of our hearts to know our hope, to know our inheritance, and to know the power that is towards us who believe. We need to settle our hearts once and for all that Christ is everything. Are we praying for this? Are we crying out to our Father? I don't want the wisdom of man. I don't want religion, and I don't want ceremonies, and I don't want traditions. I want to know Christ. And I want to know my Savior who died for me, and I want to know the power of God towards me, the mighty power of God that created the universe, the mighty power of God that delivered Israel from Egypt, the mighty power of God that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand. Power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. The only way Romans chapter 8 can exist is because of the reality of the power of God on display, and not only raising Jesus from the dead, but by giving him authority over everyone and everything that ever existed. Oh, that I may know him, and that I may know the power of his resurrection. Brothers and sisters, pray this for yourself. Pray that for me. Pray that for each other. God is in control. Turn back to Romans 8. We'll finish up in this passage and we'll be done. I want to focus on the power of God, but I want to add the other two legs of the stool in with it. The character of God, the power of God, and the love of God. It is God's character that directs his will. God does what he does because of who he is. So we can say this, within the hope in which we are saved, within our hope, the power of God toward us is directed by the will of God. Within our hope, the will of God is motivated by the love that God has for us. Let's look at this, some of the detail in this passage, and we'll be done. Let's start in verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from its bondage to the corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the Holy Spirit, first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Final adoption. We are his children now, but it will be perfected when? At the redemption of our bodies, our resurrection. And this is our hope. See it in verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So here is the will of God. God the Father knows our hearts. God the Holy Spirit knows God's will, and God the Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. Remember what I said, the power of God toward us is directed by the will of God. Well, here it is. God is praying to God for God's will to be done in our lives. Do you think this is answered? Yes. But how can that be? Where is that power in my life in this world right now? I look around this world and I say, is God really in control? Sin is everywhere. Evil is surrounding us. People spit in the face of God. People call Christians names. Christians are being slaughtered. Unborn babies are being slaughtered. There's death all around us. And you tell us there is hope, but wait for it patiently? My soul aches to be redeemed. My heart longs to be with Jesus. In my inner being, I groan to be rid of this dead body that walks around with me, yet drawing me into sin. I can't take it any longer. Where is the power? Here is the power. Verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Brothers and sisters, Friday is over. It is Sunday, and this is real. And God's immeasurable great power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he put all things under his feet. God is in control. And within this mess of sin, we live in the Holy Spirit praise. And within this seemingly overtaken world of witness, of wickedness, God's power is towards us and working all things together for good. Within our hope, the power of God toward us is directed by the will of God. And verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. That I may know him and that I may know the power of his resurrection. If it is our desire to know Christ deeper, if it is our desire to experience the power of God in our lives, then we must pray for the will of God to be done in our lives. And what is his will in verse 28? Where is the power focused to happen in our lives in verse 28? Good. It's good. Every millisecond of our life is being prayed for by the Holy Spirit in the will of God. Every millisecond of our lives, we experience the power of God towards us who love him. Every millisecond of our life, God is working all things together for good. And you know what? If you loved him and are called according to his purpose, then this working together for good was happening before the foundation of the world. And this working together for good is happening now, whether you believe it and or see it or experience it or not. And this working together for good, brothers and sisters, will happen forever. It is in this hope we are saved. So the question begging to be asked and answered at this point is, what is good? What is good? And that is another sermon that I've given in the past. But the short answer is in verse 29. Look at it. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Our reality, our good in which God directs his power toward us, is becoming more and more like his son. And our predetermined, predestined hope is the resurrection, when this good will be perfected and we will be like him and with him forever. That is the hope to which we are saved. Within our hope, the power of God is directed toward us by the will of God. Within our hope, the will of God for us is motivated by his love for us. Brothers and sisters, pray for this reality to be known to you. God's love motivated will power toward us is untouchable, and our hope is certain. God's love motivated will power toward us is untouchable, and our hope is real. Verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says in Philippians, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Dear God, we want to know the power that you have toward us, that we may live for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. And Father, I see your word tells us we don't even know what to pray for as we ought, but we do pray. And I thank you that even now, for each believer in this room, each person that you have called, each person that is your child, that the Holy Spirit is now even praying for us and interceding for us. And on top of that, we have Christ interceding for us far above all rule and authority over every kingdom, every name that's ever been named for all time, Lord. And he is interceding as our great high priest. We have the Holy Spirit interceding. We have Christ interceding. And you are listening and we're praying in your will. We want to know your power. That you have lovingly directed toward us. That we would be conformed more to the image of your Son. Father, may we seek this. Father, may you grant us grace to know your power in a real way every day. I pray in Jesus' name.